This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic. Today, I'm interviewing someone very special to me, Troy Lemberg, who was the person that got me involved with CFUV, and I'm really excited to do this interview. How are you, Troy?
I'm pretty good.
Troy's early days at CFUV involved spending time guest hosting his friend Tyler Pantella's show, Pterodactyl Sneak Attack.
I think it would have been early September. My friend Tyler got the show. We had graduated high school about like 2 months before it, and he got the show taking over for our friend Joni Sadler, who is now over in Montreal and a music director over there. But he got the show and had it for like a month or so, and I knew he was up here doing it, but didn't get a chance to do it until I moved into res at UVic and like walked on over to his show on a Friday after class or whatever just to hang out at the station. It was really, really cool experience.
What was it that made you stay?
I think that was just like a Friday thing to do, to hang out with my friend and like be here. And then to stay coming to the station, I felt, because our program director at the time is at a kind of talked to Tyler being like, hey, he should get trained. He's coming here every week or every other week. And I didn't really want Tyler to get in trouble for me coming here. So I was like, oh, I should go through this training process.
So what was the process of becoming a CFUV DJ like in 2006?
This is like, I guess 2005, but I didn't go to an orientation until 2006. I think it was similar. The coordinator of volunteers back then was Kate. She was really fun, and we went to a little orientation training session. I think they were shorter. I think they were only an hour then. I think they're 90 minutes now. It was like in another room. There was a big group of people, and then we did a short tour of the station, which I was like, oh, I've already been in the station. I know what's around here. And then we had to do 6 hours of volunteering back then. So, ooh. And there was the Radio Lab and Radio 101 training that there is here. It was only one session, I think, back then.
Mm-hmm. Troy now hosts the Action Index, an ode to the abrasive and deeply emotional genre of hardcore and its derivatives. Tell me about the first hardcore record you listened to.
Maybe I'll just preamble this with a story, maybe?
Please.
So in high school, me and my friend Tyler, we kind of met each other in PE class, and then we'd also hang out and listen to music on his Discman, and we got really into ska music. I don't know where this... And so we were really into ska music and like started like a ska club in our high school. And then we wanted to go to local ska shows. And we had a friend that we knew. We didn't know her that well, but we knew she was in bands and went to shows. So we were like, oh, let's ask her. Like, she's the cool girl that knows what stuff. So our friend Jody told us about a local ska show coming up. We went out to that show. We're like, oh, this is a lot of fun going to local shows, and all ages shows are great. And then she was like, hey, you should come see my band play. And we're like, oh, okay, that'd be fun too. So she played in this band called War by Other Means that were a local hardcore band at the time. And so we went to our first hardcore show and saw some local bands. And then we talked to her over MSN Messenger that doesn't exist anymore for those out there. But she would send us like songs. So I remember she sent me 5 bands to get into hardcore. And they were all like kind of current bands at the time too. So it wasn't like sending like old bands from a long time ago. She sent me Champion, Modern Life is War, Bane, American Nightmare, and Comeback Kid as like the 5, some song. It was only like a few songs from each artist, not like a full album. But mm-hmm. Yeah, so those were the 5 bands that I first listened to, besides seeing her band live before that.
Has your love for ska fizzled over time?
Kind of. So back then, I was really into, I guess, what would be called like third wave ska, like the more like punky kind of ska stuff, mm-hmm. which now I can't listen to that at all. I still have a lot of admiration in that for like old 60s, like Jamaican ska and like some bands that play in the more traditional style. And it's not like an everyday thing, but I didn't burn out on it. I didn't like, I'm not one of those people that strictly only listen to ska and mm-hmm. burned out on it. Just like I don't strictly only listen to hardcore and I didn't burn out on that, so...
Flash forward to now, your show The Action Index is quite popular within the hardcore and punk scene in Victoria. How did you first find out that people were really listening to the bands you were playing?
I think there's been two instances at some shows that really stand out. More just one time, this person, like, I didn't know him, I know him now, but he came up to me out of nowhere and was like, "Oh, you're Troy, that does The Action Index." And that really, I was like, how do you know what I look like first? Because... I feel like you can find out my name easily. I guess you can, the internet, Google. If you Google image my name, I do come up in Google image searches. So
Okay.
I am, I guess, on the internet. But he was really excited and like talked about the bands I played and was excited about certain styles of stuff that I was playing. Turns out he was in a band and I ended up booking his band a few months later.
Okay, what was the band's name?
Oh, that was Coston Hall. It was Mike from Coston Hall. Mm-hmm. They were called something else when they first were trying to be a band. And then another instance was this guy came out. I mentioned local band Amnesian playing a show. And at the end of the show, the person was talking to the band I was nearby. Like, "Oh, we just heard about this show on the radio. We thought we'd come down. Like, I'm usually into like classical music, but I really like the song that was played then and came out to the show." And then like I asked him what show it was and it turned out it was my show.
As both host of The Action Index and a former host of The Basement Closet Sessions, Troy's had the opportunity to host live bands in CFUV's on-air booth. Who do you think was your favorite band to have?
Footsies.
Which?
Footsies.
Footsies?
Footsies. Hands down, Footsies. It was actually a fun set because it was actually Footsies' Slam Dunk split set. So Slam Dunk were fun and really enjoyable, but Footsies, anytime you get Tyler Akis in with one of his bands, it is hilarious. So, Footsies was a great set.
This is a track from the Footsies Basement Closet Session. It is called Candy Floss.
Take a walk and go far, far away.
Or actually, Boys and Girls TV Club. So, Boys and Girls TV Club. It was Melissa, who was in Open Relationship, and she's actually in with Girls Rock Camp around here, and Kane, who plays in Pinner. There was just a two-piece, and they played their songs, but the thing that really stood out for me is that they prepared themselves in a way that other artists don't really do for Basement Closet Sessions. So they came in, like, we did a little small interview, but they also brought in a full mix CD of, like, songs and, like, would talk about every song and came in as if it was a whole radio show after as well. So it was a really fun show for me because they prepared way more than I did for like questions, because they were just prepared to like play and then come in and talk and like pick out all these songs and stayed for the whole show, because some bands will just come in, do the interview and then leave, and they stuck around till like the end of the show.
Yeah,
and this was like actually on my own shows, but you can count that as Basement Closet Sessions.
Why is it important to bring live bands to CFUV?
Depends what kind of way you look at it. It is like a great tool if we're bringing live local bands, because local bands, there's a lot of younger bands or that kind of thing that don't have recordings, and it gives an opportunity to give them at the least like some form of recording, which is so useful for when you're trying to also get on shows later. You can send something like, "Oh, hey, we played on CFUV. We have this recording from it. Like, we are a band. Like, this is what we sound like." It's a great promotional tool for local bands to like show that they're active and want to be involved in their community. In a sense of getting touring acts on, it is also great just promotion for them in general for like playing their show that night, but also for CFUV to be like, "Hey, look, these cool bands are bringing in there from out of town." So I think in either case, it's like great for our involvement with the local community. You already
know I didn't ask for this, and it's easy to pretend that there's nothing amiss. You have introduced many of CFUV's current volunteers and staff, including Johnny, the current station manager, myself, quite a few other people to this radio station.
Yeah.
Why is outreach important to you?
I don't even know why outreach is important. I think it's just CVV is important to me. I think it's an amazing space to be in. Like, I just want to tell every single, like, friend I have or anyone I meet, like, oh, hey, like, oh, you're into this? Like, you should come to the station. Like, there's this great opportunity for you. And I just really like to play it up. I've brought a lot of people into the station and a lot of people just onto my show. Not everyone comes to, like, become involved with CVV, but it's a great space. Well, and when it does connect with people, it's great. Like, you became involved quite fast after.
Yes, I did. Well, I mean, I didn't have very much to do at that point in my life. So it's kind of like I could mope at home or I could hang out at CFUV.
Yeah.
I guess I'll be here. Who do you think was, what was your proudest moment of having someone come on to CFUV? Like going from, you know, being on your show and then, being a part of CFUV, volunteer staff.
Well, I feel like the best would actually be you because you got involved so fast.
Really?
And like got so involved and like then applied for the position that you're doing right now. And like, and that's like in such a short span compared to like other people because usually like, I don't know, I feel like other people, they'd kind of be around for a few years. Like Johnny did a show for a few years before he even got a work study position. I guess maybe it was only a year or two, but it felt like a lot like of a slower rise to like his involvement in CFUV.
Yeah.
Considering I think he didn't go to the first few orientations he signed up for.
I guess. Really?
That's what he told me the other day.
Wow.
So, we had the Facebook memories thing he posted on my wall, I guess, in 2007 of August. And was like, oh, I signed up for an orientation on August 15th. And he mentioned that was probably one of the ones he just ended up not going to. So.
Troy is an important member of the Victoria punk and indie music scene, as he puts much of his time and effort into throwing gigs for do-it-yourself bands. Do you find yourself being an ambassador for CFUV during your live shows?
I would like to say yes, but not particularly, because I feel like I try and separate it to a degree. It depends on the type of show. There are shows where like I actively want to work with CFUV and bring up the show and like have CFUV on the poster and that. And there have been shows where I don't really mention that I do a radio show. But some bands I'm like, hey, I do a radio show. You should come in and do stuff at the radio station and then come do the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of changes from show to show.
How do you think your position or how do you think your role in the community as someone who promotes shows will change with your new position as music director here at CFUV?
I think it will change in the sense that I'll definitely be more interested in trying to get musicians to send their albums here and be at the station and definitely get them more involved with Basement Closet Sessions and trying to get other bands that are possibly here on that day that might be able to come on and play and hopefully arrange more with that kind of sense of getting bands in.
I know for a fact that you have an extensive record collection at home.
It's a true fact.
What is your most coveted record?
Most coveted record will actually be my Setfoot complete collection of records. So they're a Vancouver band, so it's pretty easy to get a complete collection. And when I say complete collection, I don't know if there's any record nerds, but it means you have every pressing and every like variation of their records. So I have every variation of the 1/7-inch they put out, which means I have the test press, the three colors, but I also have their record release, which isn't an official record release. It's only different because I was hanging out with their singer the day before the show, and he was like mentioning how the label forgot to send them covers for the record, so he had to print his own covers. So they're on a slightly different type of paper and have a slightly different darkness to the printing. So it's a different variation.
Okay.
And I have all of them, all of their CDs and their shirt. I nerd out over having all the Setfoot stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then for value wise, my this might change at any given year or moment, but at the moment, my most valuable record is a Miley Cyrus Bangers picture disc. So yeah, I have a Miley Cyrus record that's worth like $200 or $300.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I don't like to use this word very often, but I'm so jealous that you have that record. I want it so bad. It's such a good record. I love Miley Cyrus so much. I love Miley Cyrus. I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream in my cardigan. Welcome to the land of phoenixes. Am I gonna fit in? How does CFUV contribute to the live Victoria music scene?
I think it's contributed in a lot of ways, especially in the last few years too, more so than I feel like when I was younger and first going to all ages shows. Because when I first started going to all ages shows in high school, I didn't really know about CFUV, and it wasn't until like slightly getting involved. And even then, like the types of shows CFUV was involved with were kind of like more geared to very specific sects of things going on. And I think now they've opened up just to supporting anything local, regardless of if there are people that like it or not. And that shows with Basement Closet Session, with just getting as many local artists to come on and play and just being involved with more shows, or like the type of bands and local acts that we get to play with Eventide that we've been doing with the city for the last few years, and just supporting local and like seeking out local stuff to play on the station and try and support local.
How do you hope to further open up CFUV to the live Victoria music community?
I guess just like if I'm out at shows, making sure people know, hey, you should submit this to the station, and give them a means to do it and make it easy and accessible to get their music here at the station, or show ways that we can support them. Like, oh, hey, come play on our, like if you don't have a recording, you should just come play live on the air. We'll give you like a live recording, and you can have something to put up on Bandcamp and show your fans or something.
In the 10 years that he has been involved with the station, Troy has helped CFUV blossom by getting as many people involved as he can. He is a mainstay as a promoter in the local music community and a true supporter of the Victoria All Ages punk scene. We will leave you today with Wake the Dead by Comeback Kid. This episode of Behind the Mic included a conversation with Troy, host of the Action Index, which airs from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Thursdays. For more episodes of Behind the Mic, check out your favorite podcast provider or visit soundcloud.com/CFUV.